She took a teaching position at Rutgers University, where her academic work on women's rights became the basis for a string of cases she argued before the Supreme Court. At home, the duties were shared. When James got caught hijacking the elevator in grade school, the headmaster called his mom. She'd been up all night working on a Supreme Court briefing, and they said, "You must come to the school right away," says James. She said, "This child has two parents. You must alternate the calls, starting now." Always a joker, Marty had a different take. When they said, "Your son has stolen the elevator," he said, "How far could he have taken it?" James recalls with a laugh. Calls to parents diminished greatly. Ruth and Marty partnered in everything but cooking. After receiving a French cookbook as a gift, Marty worked his way through it. "Dad said it was for his own survival," says James. "Mom's cooking was that bad, especially her tuna fish casserole, which the family begged her never to make." After Ruth was appointed to the U.S. Court of Appeals in 1980, Marty followed her to D.C. and her career took precedence. "He was always trying to get her to leave the office and come home for dinner," says NPR legal correspondent Nina Totenberg, a longtime friend. At some point, he'd show up and collect her. And when it came time for President Clinton to nominate a justice in 1993, Marty, by then a well-connected tax lawyer, worked his contacts. "Marty's pulling every debt he has gathered," says Arthur Miller. "He believes she should be there." Once she got the nomination, he took her shopping to pick out suits for her confirmation hearings. He also joined the court spouses club, says Ruth's childhood friend Ann Kittner, because he wanted to cook when they all got together. The couple's later years together were mostly happy ones. They attended opera festivals and enjoyed their grandchildren, Jane, a Columbia University law professor, and James, a producer of classical music, each have two children. Diagnosed with colon and later pancreatic cancer, Ruth survived both. Their love took on a new meaning in 2010 after a tumor was found near Marty's spine and Ruth became his caretaker, staying up with him once again through the night. "She wouldn't accept help," says Totenberg. "She was doing double duty, caring for her dying husband and being a Supreme Court justice." In his final days, Marty left his wife a note. "You are the only person I have loved in my life. Setting aside a bit parents and kids and their kids, and I have admired and loved you since the day we first met at Cornell some 50 years ago." He died 10 days later on June 27, 2010. The next day, Ruth returned to work on the bench. Asked why, she had a simple answer. Marty would have wanted it that way.